express yourself.
And good morning.
Hey, good morning. Oh, all right, there we go. Oh, good morning. I'd never heard the song, so I'm glad we get to hear the whole thing this time. Awesome. Well, good morning to welcome to another edition of Talk Line. This is Diane McGachran with
Joe Moses Jr.
getting ready to start the show. And if you have never called Talk Line, we invite you to give it a try. You can call or email us. And if our lines are tied up, we have two lines. Sometimes you can get in through the 800 number. Okay. I'm not sure if we're on air, but if we are, we're having a little technical difficulty, so we'll just hold on for a second.
Hello.
Good morning.
Morning. Hi, Joe.
Good morning, John.
Oh.
How are you?
Am I on the air there?
You're on the air, live and in color.
Oh, boy, I have war on the bad drivers today.
Oh, okay.
Well, I'm tired of pleading with the people to use your common sense instead of being a dummy, ignorant, and stupid.
Oh, no.
That's how these drivers are around here. The cab drivers have more safety concerns for pedestrians and bicycles than the people who drive normally on the road.
Oh, my gosh.
I don't understand how they got their driver's license. Against the law to stop when you're at an intersection. If you keep moving, you're breaking the law.
Mm-hmm.
That's okay. I've seen the police do that, and they don't even act like you're there. And the police department, the people behind them, well, they think, oh, the police can do it, so can I.
Yeah.
Now, listen here, you guys. We're tired. Someone's going to get hurt or killed. I keep saying that every time I call.
Wow.
You have ignorant, stupid drivers that look at you, act like you're not even there, and keep on going.
Mm-hmm.
Enough of that crap.
Oh, wow.
I'm going to start going out there like I did in my years working as a leg person on the highway.
Mm.
I'm going to yield. I'm going to have them stop. If they're a car length away from me, I'm going to have them stop, and I'm going to look the other direction, and I'm going to do the same posture, you know, if it comes to that. This town needs a lighting system like they do at the hospital at that intersection right across by the church there. That's one of the main traffic areas that pedestrian walk through, you know, what I'm talking about.
Which church area?
It's where the old power plant used to be, the office.
Oh, I got
that
okay.
intersection there.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, people, I had one lady when I was biking up the hospital, I had another one coming out of that intersection where they're doing the hospital work there.
Uh-huh.
She looks one way, she looks at me and looks one way. All I see is her head on a one-way direction. I passed by her, I thought, well, I hope she saw me. And then I went by, pointed, and I let her know that I'm coming through, and then she had her bobbed her head the other way, and I was about halfway there, and I seen her pull out, almost rear-ended my back wheel. That's how stupid people are. You gotta look both daggone ways before you cross the intersection, and please listen to these pedestrians. They're not stupid, we're not dumb. You're the dumbest one. They're driving these vehicles.
Okay, yeah.
Enough of this crap.
Yeah.
You know, what they waiting for? Somebody to get killed or hurt really bad, a little child wouldn't know whether to go or not. I don't understand this town.
Mm.
I don't understand the driver. That's all I got to say. I hope everyone, please, wear your life jacket. Please don't drink and drive. Watch the pedestrians, too, okay? Give them some. Show a little courtesy.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Hey, John.
Yeah.
Before you go, I don't know if you heard, we don't have a chief of police no more. He resigned. He's retiring.
Well, put your name in there.
So I imagine there's a job opening.
Maybe I will, too, if you put yours, Joe.
Well, I don't know if you saw, John, there's a petition. Well, it's going on through the Facebooks or through a website there, but a petition to change the speed limit in the neighborhoods to 15 miles an hour to kind of cut down on the dust and try to help people slow down because we don't have sidewalks and kids are running around and people go very fast sometimes in these side roads in the neighborhoods. I'm just shocked at how fast they go.
Got a tunnel vision. I don't understand that.
Where are you rushing to in Bethel, anyway?
What, they're going to wait for somebody to get killed or hurt really bad, a little child? They'll just say, oh, we should have done something about that a long time ago.
Yeah.
You know, that's how stupid people are.
Okay.
I mean,
you're...
Not all drivers are like that, but as far as the cab drivers are concerned, I hear a lot of complaints against them, but there are a lot of them are safety conscious because that's their career.
Right, right.
And these people, they have no career driving a cab. All they know how to is whine and grind about cab drivers, yet they're the ignorant ones, you know. Maybe they're breaking the law.
Hey, John?
Yeah.
I had a cab driver cut me off, and I followed him to wherever he was taking his passenger, and I let him have it.
Good, that's the way you do it.
To a cab driver. What do you mean you let him have it?
I spoke in every language I could so he didn't understand me.
But anyway, I feel they're a little more safety conscious for pedestrians.
They should, because that's their livelihood.
Yeah, that's what I just said. That's their career. I'm making more money. Yeah. You have to do that. I wish the people around here, the ignorant ones, would learn the same system. I can't understand how they ever got their driver's license. If I was flagging, I'd have tickets for everybody who broke that law. Because I didn't mess around when I was trapped. Mm-hmm. You know, I made sure.
Yeah.
That was my job, safety of you and people who are working. And that's the way it should be without, you know. They need to put a light over there, is what they need to do. They need to put one like they have one at the hospital or at the intersection. Because that's the main part of town that I know that the people are always crossing the street. In the wintertime, they're either coming by snow machine or in four-wheeler, you know. So that's an idea. I don't know who you could. I'd like to find out who I could talk to about this. Maybe somebody will know about it. Well, anyway, I better let you guys go for other callers.
Okay.
I feel a little better now.
Well, glad you got it out of your system, John.
Yeah, I did. I'm glad I got it out of there now. Look out for me.
Yeah. Okay.
All right, thank you. Bye.
All right. Well, actually, something positive about cab drivers, which is very good.
Not from my point of view.
We have another caller, Karma. Welcome to the show, Karma. You're on the air. Hello? Karma.
Call back.
No, well, I don't know. She might be on the... Okay, we'll wait until... So anyway, we'll wait until they let us know if
Yeah,
if
and
she's
the number's here to give us a call. Or you could always email us at radio@kyk.org.
Okay, so Karma, are you on the air?
Yes, I am.
Oh, okay, welcome to the show. Go ahead.
Okay, I want to let everybody know there's going to be another demonstration on Watson's Corner again, and it's going to be happening every Saturday until something gets done about all the corruptness in our justice system. And I was wondering if they're going to open up all the investigations that Mr. Rashid has done when he's gone, you know, because it seems like all the investigations that he started, nothing happened with those. And if I was wondering, too, if somebody from the police department can call in and let us know this stuff, and if they're going to bring charges up on our Etchy for taking stuff from the port that wasn't his and buying a personal rifle with his name engraved on it using the city credit card. And also, are you two going to join us Saturday this time?
I am not. I am not going to be around for anything this weekend.
You know, Diana, I always see you driving around with our elders and everything. Oh. And, you know, it's time we need to change this community for the better.
I know.
So everybody in Bethel, we all have to stand as a community if we want justice done.
And what are you thinking? What is something that you want from the police department, from your march? I mean, what is it that you would like to see?
Well, we want all the corrupt police officers to step down. And we want Officer Pavel, mm-hmm. we want him promoted to chief. Because really, he's the only officer in that police station right now that has any route to Bethel.
Okay.
He is part of a family that his great-grandparents, they were teachers and they ran the orphanage back in the day, and they own a couple stuff here. You know, basically they are an original family of this town. And I think they need to put somebody from an original family from this town into the chief of police spot and not give it to some other person who is not from here. Because these mm-hmm. other police officers, they don't get out and walk around like they're supposed to. Mm-hmm. Like they strip and talk to people. They're too busy driving around in their vehicles.
So realizing that police officers are probably not going to leave their positions, what is something concrete that you'd like to see happen with your protest? I mean, the result of as an outcome. Something like specific... like you say, you'd like the chief or former chief, there'd be an investigation into some of his practices. Are there some other kind of concrete, specific things you want to see?
Yes, and there's another officer, Lamani, I guess his name is, stuff that, you know, we hear about him. Somebody should open an investigation on him also. And, you know, I think I've seen that officer driving around on a yellow motorcycle, I think it was. Yeah, And anyway, he was driving crazy on that thing. Like, if he could do whatever he wanted to. And, you know, when he was driving on the road, turning, he went around the car in front of him that was turning, almost going to the other side of the road. You know, what kind of police officer is that? That's just one example.
Okay. All right, good. So it's good to kind of be specific on what you want to, what you want from.
Yes, well, you know, we want the corruptness in our police station to end.
Of course.
We should have an all-native police force.
Yeah.
And in the city offices. And another thing.
Okay, and then we have to go to another caller. So go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
The new city council member they have, who voted him in? Or did they just give him a seat? Because everybody else on the council was voted in except for him.
Oh, I think it was to fill a vacancy. And they're and the council...
But still, they should have left it open. You know, the council shouldn't say that. Shouldn't do that because it's not their right. They are working for the community, not us working for them.
Right, but I think that's
how... You see what I mean?
Yeah, but that...
I think they should take him out of that seat and put somebody else in there if they're just going to do that. You know, pick a native person from here.
I think
somebody that understands this community, can speak the language, and knows what's going on. You know what I mean? Because that was a right for them to do that.
Yeah, I think that's the policy. When there's an open seat, when someone leaves the council early, there's an open seat. They fill it just until the next election, and then it's open to people running. And people give applications to fill the slot. So that's
why
it goes, yeah.
So why did they pick him? You know, they could have picked somebody with a native last name, not a Caucasian person.
They may not have had an applicant. I don't know.
I think they should have advertised for it. You know how many people would have stepped up for that position probably? Because our council is crooked too.
Okay.
And I noticed the mayor out there last weekend.
Thank you. We're going to... Okay, and I'll wrap. We're going to go on to another caller. Yeah, so I think we have another caller, Herman. Herman.
Hello.
Okay, so we have.
Getting back to the caller's question, anytime there's a vacancy that's going to occur on the city council, every time they have their city council meeting, they have to notify the public. So the public,
which they did. I remember them doing that.
They have to notify the public, which they did do. Mm-hmm. And any interested person may apply for that position. Mm-hmm. And so the people that were interested applied, and it was up to the council who to put in that position by voting for them and having a unanimous vote. Mm-hmm. But they're just filling in until the next election, which is October, I think. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you want to run for council, you got to submit your application.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's the case. But but the basic point of more local native people in these positions in the city would be good.
If they apply.
Well, I don't know how.
If they apply. Yeah. If they want to apply. If they need to apply. But you can't make anybody do anything they don't want to do. If they don't want to be a council member, that's their choice.
Okay.
The people that wanted to put in their name, and that's how they got that position.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I think we have another caller, Tim from Fish and Wildlife.
Hi, this is Ken Stalnecker with the Fish and Wildlife Service, refuge manager at Yukon Delta. I just wanted to give a subsistence fishing update for folks in the audience.
Okay.
So as folks know, we provided a 12-hour opportunity on Monday, and we looked at the harvest information that came in from that, and we've been continuing to track the assessment information that we're seeing come in for the Bethel test fishery. And we've been having lengthy discussions with the Kuskokwim River Intertribal Fish Commission, as well as the Alaska Department of Fish and Game. And at this point, based on the numbers that we're seeing, we are not intending to announce the next subsistence fishing opportunity at this time. The reason for that, the harvest that we saw from Monday, the overall salmon harvest was very similar for the 12-hour period as it was to last year's first 12-hour opportunity, but the number of Chinook in the harvest this year was about half of what was seen last year.
Wow.
Yeah. And then when you put on top of that the numbers from the Bethel test fishery, we're currently seeing somewhere in the neighborhood of about 28 Chinook as the cumulative catch per unit for the year. And when you compare that to this time last year, it was 196. So looking at, again, about 28 compared to 196. So the bottom line is there's definitely something going on out there with the Chinook fishery that leads us to the conclusion where, for the time being, we really need to adopt a very conservative approach to the fishery. I do want to add that we certainly appreciate and ask for everybody's patience during this time. I know this is a stressful time and people want to go fish, and we'd love to provide that opportunity, but the numbers are just looking like it's prudent for us to really adopt a very conservative approach. So we're going to continue to watch these numbers. We're going to hope that they improve, and as soon as we know anything better and are able to announce an opener, we will let people know.
Okay, well, thank you very much for that update. I wondered why there were no those fish. Hello, are you still on the air, Tim? Hello? Oh, I think he got cut off. Okay, well, I had a question because I noticed there's not those fish tubs aren't over there by Brown Slough.
You can ask him. Maybe he's still listening.
I think he got cut off.
I mean, on the radio.
Oh, I'm asking, where are the fish tubs? But I think there's none because there are hardly any salmon. All right. I think next on the line we have Susan. Welcome to Talkline, Susan. Okay. A little technical difficulty.
Hi, you can hear me now.
Oh, yes, yes.
Yeah. I'm glad Joe Moses has an easy name to spell.
Uh-oh.
We lost you.
Got cut off.
Easy one to write
there
in.
Are. Okay. Say that again because we got cut off briefly.
Yeah, Joe, I'm glad your name is easy to spell because if the candidate's on the ballot, if you don't like any of them, just write your name in. You know. I might spell McEachern wrong, but Joe Moses, I can spell that.
Yeah, I could spell Susan Taylor very easy.
Oh, Susan Taylor. That's easy to spell.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, we could save the world. I have a question to throw out there in case Mayor Rick Robb or somebody can call in the answer.
Mm-hmm.
I know that you can't build a liquor store next to a school.
Right.
What about building a school next to a liquor store? And the reason I ask that is the proposed decision site of the new Yupik Immersion School that they're going to rebuild, you know, with the fire insurance settlement is the ball fields in front of the high school there. And that's kitty corner behind that old burned-out laundromat.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of close to the liquor store. So I want to know if it works both ways.
Well, I think it depends. I bet that liquor store is enough feet away because I can't remember. Do you remember how many feet it's supposed to be?
I don't know. It's pretty close. When you drive by that corner, you know, where Gawkeek and Ridgecrest, just kind of,
yeah,
you can kind of see it's kind of close. So I just didn't know how it works, if it works both ways or if one.
That's interesting.
Yeah. All right. And that was my only question. And you guys all have a good weekend.
Okay. Thank you, Susan.
Bye.
Okay. So how far away from the liquor store can you be? Okay.
It was far enough to get open the liquor store, obviously.
Uh-huh.
We know that.
Uh-huh.
So that's no brainer there.
Right, but if that field there. Well, we'll see. I think we had Harry on the line, but now Harry's gone. So we're going to go ahead. Why don't you give out the numbers again?
The phone number, sure, to give us a call are 543-5985, 543-2756, 1-800-995-8954, or you could always email us at radio@kyk.org.
Yeah, so I think the lack of Chinook salmon is a very big concern that people are noticing. In some parts of the United States, in New England, there used to be a salmon run in almost all the rivers and streams, the Atlantic salmon run, and it completely died out. And I hope that's not the case out here. Okay, next we have Jody on the line. Hello, Jody.
Hi, good morning, Diane. Hi, Joe.
Good morning.
Hello, welcome to Talkline.
Thanks so much. The first thing I want to say is thanks to Peter Twitchell, who's on in the morning playing great music a lot of the time, really appreciating his music.
Good.
And the other one is, sorry, Diane, couldn't hear you.
Oh, I said good.
Oh. The other thing is that there's a movement afoot on Facebook and a petition about 15 miles an hour in the neighborhood.
Oh, I mentioned that this morning.
You did, and I really
okay.
appreciated that.
Good.
I thought that was great. And there's been a lot of commenting on Facebook that sort of, well, the police won't enforce it and all like that. And I think I'd rather if we just did it ourselves. I mean, it would be awesome if the city would post signs like that, but sort of drive in the neighborhoods like you hope people will drive at your house. And we might call it like the slow food movement. We might call it like the slow neighborhood movement. It'll really help with the dust, and it'll definitely help with pedestrians and older people, and who knows when a cat might run in front of the car.
Okay. Okay, yeah, I think I know I saw a lot of like, what good will it do? People are going to drive fast anyway, and I think we have to put into place what our ideal is, and take care of the.
We could call it "Occupy the Road" by Diane.
There will be like stuffed dummies of Diane laying as a speed bump all over town, over the roads.
Right, launching out of trees. That'll be great.
Yeah.
Anyhow,
yeah.
15 is fast enough. And
now, will there be a city council meeting where this will be on people to be heard, so that those who do not follow Facebook can give in their opinion on this, or give their support, or lack of support, whatever.
Yeah, people to be heard is always every city council meeting. You can just go and sign up and say anything you want in people to be heard. I'm not actually familiar with how we, and I'll take that petition once, you know, people have a chance to sign it. I'll take it to the public works and or the public safety, I guess, and see if they can take it through the process. I'm not exactly sure how things get changed for the better in Bethel through the city council. So if anybody knows how to make that happen.
I would contact the city clerk. She should be able to tell you what the process is.
Well, I know the process. I'm just not quite sure how to bring it to a completion. I spent lots of time in the process, just haven't had results.
You got to go to the planning committee for that. That does streets, roads, and maintenance for the community of Bethel. I'm sure there's a planning committee for that. Like I said, if you call the city clerk, she'll be able to answer your question 100%.
Okay, Joe, I'll do it.
All righty.
And thanks so much, and thanks, Diane. Have a good weekend, everybody.
Okay. Thank you, Jody. All right, next we have Norman. Good morning, Norman. Welcome to the show. Hello, Norman? You're on the air.
Yes, I am. Norman from Napaque. Morning, Joe.
Who?
Norman from Napaque.
Oh, Norman, that guy. Okay.
Yeah.
Are you speaking as a citizen or a council member?
I am speaking as a resident of Bethel and a resident of this community. I try to stay away from my council member hat until we have some meetings over at the council chambers.
Okay.
So I appreciate the gentleman who gave us a scoop on what the subsistence opening or subsistence fishing looks like for the Kuskokwim River. What I would like to know about this, about the current situation, is that the allowability of a dip net for other types of fishing gear that we can use besides the gill nets. If I'm not mistaken, and I need the gentleman to give me a call for clarification, we have the ability to go out subsistence fishing, just not the use of the illness we have been using. If I'm not mistaken, we have the ability to use CN, I forgot what they are, I think they're CNN nets, the other type of gear that we can use are dip nets. So if the gentleman can call back and have a thorough discussion on the allowability of the nets, I will appreciate that.
Okay, thank you. So
yep, thank you very much.
Okay, so Fish and Wildlife, go ahead. So a Fish and Wildlife can, if they want to call back and say what kind of nets are allowable and during this time, that'd be great. Okay. Thank you, Norman.
I don't know if you've been paying attention to, or do we have a caller?
Yeah, it looks like we do. John Galila. Good morning, John. Welcome to Talkline.
Hi, good morning. It's John Galila, the maniac.
Good morning, John. How are you?
Doing fine. I'm a little concerned about this fishing process. All my life since I born in the 50s, I've used fish every year. In my baby times, my mother used to use fish soup, straight soup, or baby bottles to feed me.
Mm-hmm.
And these were the best times. Mm. And now, these days, right now, these people are playing with us right now. I am hungry for my fish. I've never seen this like this. Why are they playing with us like this? How come our kids are not going to learn no more? What's wrong with these people? Mm. Why are they playing with us like this? I'm hungry for this fish. Right now, I have no fish in my rack. How come you guys people play with us like? I'm a full native people, like everybody else. I'm so sorry to see this. They play with us because I'm hungry for this fishing. I am so late for this dry fishing. I have no almost looks, nothing. I am very hungry for this fish. Who's gonna bring me fish? Mm. I don't want these fish counters to come in my house no more. Because I'm not going to give them my info. They don't fish for me. I'm sorry. Please, let us fish. I'm starving. In my baby time, I used to drink them all the time for a bottle. That fish juice.
Mm.
The very healthy stuff.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you very much. Bye.
Well, I'm glad John called. I could hear in his voice the pain of what we're seeing out there on the river. Next, we have Timothy. Good morning, Timothy. Welcome to Talkline.
Hi, I'm Timothy from Joestat here in Bethel. I'm an enrollment prep intern.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to encourage everyone to come and enroll, if you haven't already, and shareholders to come and vote. We have computers available at our office, and our office is open from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. at 313 Willow Street. Chosta will also be at CHEVAC on June 20, 21, and 22. People should bring their IDs, birth certificates, and their social security numbers. Also, some Chosta workers will be at Raven from 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. today. And we encourage everyone to visit our office and enroll and to vote and ask questions.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Good morning. We have Rhett on the line. Good morning, Rhett. Welcome to Talkline.
Good morning. Good morning. This is Rick Ryan.
Oh, Rick.
Hey, Rick, how are you?
It's spelled like Rhett Butler.
How about Rick?
I know. That's all I'm going to say. Yes. Welcome to the show, Rick. You know, there was somebody had a question about... how far away? Oh, what happens if a school or a church were to be constructed near a liquor store that already exists? Would there be some violation there, like where the liquor store would have to close?
I think if the liquor store is there first, if they, you know, then they're grandfathered in under zoning.
And then the new school for Ioprin is going to be over there near the ball field at LKSD. And I guess the question was, it's a moot question. It doesn't matter now. But is that plot of land behind the laundromat, old laundromat, close to the liquor store?
The state law is 300 feet. So depending on where the grounds of the school are.
Okay. So 300 feet.
You know, 300 feet, yeah. And then Bethel Municipal Code allows proximity to schools to, and other things to be considered, but there's not a specific foot number.
Okay. Okay.
But a lot of other things have been happening, so.
Yeah.
Well, we heard that the chief of police resigned. He's retiring. Is that correct?
The chief of police has resigned. I believe Wednesday night he resigned. I believe he's retired. I'd just like to say that, I think we need to thank him for his, 25 years of public service in our community. And, wish him well in his retirement and for him and his family. And I'd like to thank him personally for his years of service. We can all look forward to new leadership in the police department and hope things get better.
Okay, I don't mean to put you on the spot, but I'm wondering...
But you're good at it.
I'm wondering why is the city administration, meaning the city manager, city attorney, are allowing the city planner to treat a certain person in this community with disrespect? Why is that being allowed?
Well, I don't know that it's being allowed. As probably everybody knows, Mr. Cesare Mazinski has been working on applying for a liquor license. There has been, in my perception, there's been a lot of resistance from the planner to process his application, whether or not his application is good or not, whether or not he should be granted a conditional use permit is up to the planning commission. It's not up to the planner. I will say that. I can't really weigh in on whether or not he should be granted a conditional use permit. I will say that he came and he complained to the city council that the planner had yelled at him, and they got, apparently he was yelling, screaming, flipped him off.
Throwing his papers on the floor?
Who was yelling and screaming?
The planner was.
Oh, the planner.
The planner was yelling at Cesare, yelling, screaming, cursing, flipped him off while they were, in the course of his duties. I kind of held back from saying anything for a few days. It was all over Facebook. I didn't put a post last night, but I think that during the meeting, the planner's actions were also very rude, and he made snide comments. I think that is deplorable. I think he was rude in his professional duties, and I encourage the city manager to give him appropriate discipline.
I was going to say,
there you go.
What are the ramifications for that?
Well, the ramifications is appropriate discipline by the city manager. Of course, being an HR matter, these things are not public.
Public, right.
So what they do is private, but I encourage the city, and I think it's appropriate to say that I encourage appropriate discipline. I don't know what that is. I wouldn't be privy to that, and because that is an HR matter.
Yeah.
Nor would that be released. But the incident is in the public, and I think from everything I heard, the city planner, acted rudely and very inappropriately in the course of his official duties. So,
okay.
Yeah. The other thing I would like to say, we had the caller earlier about the protests.
Yeah.
There have been people protesting. Last Saturday, I drove by, saw the protesters. I actually stopped and talked to them and listened and heard what they had to say. And, of course, they want justice for the tragic accident of the woman that died.
Mm-hmm.
I will say that, as far as I know, it was a tragic accident. The police department investigated it. The police department turn that information over to the state troopers. The state troopers have it, and I do think that when an investigation is complete, that should go public and be transparent.
Okay.
What I think.
So it did go to the troopers.
The information was given to the troopers.
Okay.
The troopers were not able to, I was told, the troopers were called at the time of the accident. They were unable to respond.
Mm-hmm.
They did not respond. The police department on the scene, they had to do what they had to do. They investigated the accident, and they turned that all over.
No charges were filed, and I don't know that, you know, I mean, it was a tragic accident. I mean, to say that it was, you know, just, and people are hurt. There's no way about that.
So who's the acting chief since he resigned and went into retirement? Do you have an acting chief?
At this point, I know that the city manager has announced that he's in communication with the sergeants and intends to hire an interim chief. So right now, the city manager is overseeing the sergeants.
Okay.
Okay.
And I see we have a couple new police officers that graduated from the police academy, and they're local.
Yeah, we have one, Mr.
Charles.
Charles has recently or is graduating from the police department. You know, very soon. Yeah, I think he's still there, but he's getting ready to graduate. So that's really good. Yeah, that's really good.
How did your budget for FY18 come out?
So the budget is passed finally. It was passed Tuesday night at the meeting. I am personally not very pleased with the budget. I voted against it. We are planning on spending more money than we're taking in. We have increased health care costs. Certain positions were moved around. I was not in favor of all the things that happened. So, on the bright side, looking forward, we do have a new finance director. We do have a new city manager, and it's no secret that the finance department has been very weak for a long time, and they are working diligently to get things straightened up. So I'm thinking it will be, you know, the finance department will be better in the future.
And but collect the taxes that need to be collected by the people
the
that are not paying.
Need to collect the taxes and get things, you know, get the right amounts known and where they're going. I think our budget process needs some big revisions. I think things are done backwards, and that would be a future endeavor to get that fixed. We have a law that says if the budget isn't passed by June 15th, you're going to automatically adopt what was proposed, and I think that is backwards. I think it should be the other way around, that it needs to be adopted, that we don't have a budget except for essential city services. Not that we want to shut the government down.
Oh, I don't know what just happened. I'm sorry, Rick, you were talking and we got cut off. Anyway, we have to wrap up, I think, to
all
go
right.
to a couple.
Well, have a good weekend. There's probably lots of callers, yep.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, thank you, Rick, for calling in, though. Appreciate
right.
it. Okay. All right.
So he clarified what I was going to bring up.
Which was?
The way Cesare was treated at the planning department.
Yeah, that I'm really sorry to hear that from the city.
It was, you know, on Facebook, and you know, I mean,
and now we're
everybody
it's a small
that,
town, so that
yeah.
city manager, I mean, not the city manager, the city planner is.
And you know, everybody that read it supported Cesare, and including his son was very upset since he's no longer a council member. He spoke on how he felt about the whole situation, and you know, it's sad to see somebody that's been here 30, 40 years. Treated with no respect, disrespect, and he's the poor guy's on the job. He should know better. He should know his work ethics.
Understood. I think it's going to be handled.
Hello?
So the next call that we have is from Steven from Nebraska. Steven, you're on the air. Is it Steven?
Hello? Hello?
Yes.
Steven?
Yes, good morning.
Good morning. You're on the air.
It's been a while. Steven Alexa from Napastek.
Hi, Steven.
I'm calling to make a suggestion to the Cusco Community Tribal, Cusco and U.S. Fish and Wildlife, because when the federal take over, I think the U.S. Fish and Wildlife is the main people that makes the decision of to fish or not. And to completely say that they're going to hold back is, you know, maybe they should hold back on drifting and whatnot, but revert to set netting 4-inch gear or less. Because, you know, some people are out there, they're starving, you know. When we've been on this scene for the past 3 or 4 years now. Okay. And to, you know, have nothing to eat is kind of, you know, it's not good. Me and my family of six here at Napaskek have gone through period where we didn't have anything to eat but salmon. Hmm. And I know that the times have been critical for fish and the river. Last opening, the clarity of the river was too clear and warm. The fish aren't from elders that taught down river, down the coast, up the river. You know, they say the salmon wait for the right temperature or the right timing for the fish to swim, start swimming up. We've seen a few fish, but not much. And at times where we have low water, elders say they swim deep on the river, bottom. You know, they go up on the bottom of the river. So I, you know, make a suggestion to those people that make the decision to open for us using segment six 60 feet long and 4 inch. So that's all I wanted to say. Thanks. Okay.
All right. Thank you, Stephen, for calling. Next on the line, we have Cesari. Welcome to the show, Cesari.
Yeah, good morning. Hey, I'm calling about those speed limits. I don't want to talk about my issue. I'm forgiving men, though. I don't want to try to think about that.
Okay.
You have to be positive.
We kind of covered it earlier anyway on the show.
I never listened. I don't know what's going on.
Okay.
But anyway, so, I heard something about those speeding and limit. There is limits in there, all right, with this housing and this ABCP housing. And I was thinking even putting myself the 10 miles humps like they have them in Anchorage, and winter time pull them out and laying down on my court, at least a couple of them. Because I have grandkids in there, and lots of, not only mine, but his other kids in here, little fellas, 3-4 year old, and the only playground that is the road in there.
Yeah.
Even you tell them to stay away, but that is quiet place, and you see these delivery guys or cop, the cop in morning or afternoon, and going 30, 40 miles per hour. That's not only dangerous to them to the safety, but... they stop so much dust in there. Just the kids breathing that thing, and it's first of all dangerous to the injury, and healthy wise is really bad. So I always jump out in the front of them and I try, you know, stay and go ahead and bump me, you donkey. But
they might get a little bit of car damage, huh?
Yeah, but you know, they're probably not so down on the little one, but they step back when they see moose stay in front of them. But I think it's, I don't know what is the law allowed me to put those homes. I maybe talk to some of those safety departments in the city.
Yeah. Well, that's what I think Jody Drew has a petition that she started to, because eventually we'd like to propose that the city limit be 15 miles an hour in the neighborhoods.
Yeah, that'd be nice. You know, there is pretty not expensive camera to operate they have them in Europe all over the place. And they have warranties. You own cameras and on pictures. They have to have warranties because there is law about using camera in the public. And they have warranties. And they catch you smiling face when you spit in there. And next thing what you know, you have issue nice ticket, and you repeat a couple times more. You have a really good one. And if you repeat again, you have suspended driver's license. Probably I'd pay to myself a decade, because sometimes just lose it. But I think that'll be worked by the school in morning and in the housing, and they make an extra budget for the city. And they're not that expensive. If the city wanted to help them buy it or donate some, and put them up with a couple places. I think the law allowed if you notify the drivers with the sign, there'd be camera with this radar. And that'd be, I'm sure I'll get eventually one, but... but they'll be good for public and for the safety and for the dust. Another thing on the about the dust, you have those big trucks going, water trucks, sewer trucks, lots of traffic with industrial trucks, and you have that left side and right side, and in the middle is pile of dust, this so light and so fine. So if these trucks stay on the lane, it's fine. But some of them, like, they don't see what's going on in the behind them. They step up on the middle, on the center, and that disturb that fine dust so thickly, you can see anything. It'd be nice when the state or city or the state cleaning the side one, but the side one is already blown to side. But if they clean those middle one, they put the dust quite a bit down for the safety. For breathing anyway,
mm-hmm.
because that in the middle nobody touching, and when they hit big truck, even smaller too, you hit that center line between two lanes. They have always plenty dust in there, and the fine dust make it lots of problems. So,
okay,
that's what I'm say for today. And good luck. I think about the fish that gentleman called before me.
Yeah.
That there is a little too early. Next week, probably the fish come like every year. And I was not to Joe, not 34 years, I was 37 years.
Oh, okay. All right, Cesare.
Okay.
Thank you. Have a nice day.
You too. Bye bye.
All right. Next, we have Alexi from Napakiak. Good morning, Alexi. You're welcome to Talkline.
Oh, good morning to you both.
Good morning.
How's everything going?
Not too good.
Uh-oh. What'd you do now?
I've been doing good. I'm in nice way, except for the fishing game, so the ones that are not doing too good towards us. But anyway, the gentleman from the podcast took all whatever I was going to say over the radio, and I'm glad I'm not the only one that's thinking like that. That when they had a subsistence opening, it was drifting, 6-inch drifting in two areas. And
hello? Oh, sorry. We accidentally cut off Alexi.
Call back.
So, Alexi, call back. Okay. So, we have the lines are open, so you're welcome to call in. You can also email at radio@kyuk.org. And you can be anonymous in the email, and we'll read it on air. We have Martha. Good morning, Martha. Welcome to Talkline. Martha?
Yes.
Oh, good morning. You're on Talkline.
Oh, good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, I have two things to say. One is a question about these prizes we pay on at AC especially. Do they have to be that high? And is there a way that whoever or what authority would bring these prices down? I live here in Bethel for a long time and getting to be an elder,
mm-hmm.
and with these fish problems, we can't afford their prices anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And comparing the prices from the prices in Anchorage, I don't think they need to be that much higher.
Right.
But we really need some kind of a law for these, especially mm-hmm. AC,
yeah.
to... Or we can, as citizens here in Bethel, tell the, like, Fred Meyer or Costco to build a store here. Something like that. Maybe their prices will go down. But another one is, with all these fish problems we're having as subsistence users. And I would like to make a suggestion for the test fishery people to get numbers or get numbers for the elders so they can give their catch to the elders who can't go out and catch instead of giving it to everybody, everyone that's there waiting for them when they come back from test fisheries.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, that's the one I wanted to say something about. And mm-hmm. I know there are people, I don't want to say this, because the people, Fish and Game or whoever is going to start going after them. People down north of the Kuskokwim, they have their racks full. And I don't have one fish hanging in my rack. About this time, I usually have enough for my family. And five members with their children of my family eat the fish that we catch for the winter.
Mm-hmm.
So I just wanted to say that.
I'm glad you did. I'm so glad you called. Yeah, thank you, Martha.
Well, to answer Martha's question regarding the cost of living here, there's two ways of getting merchandise into Bethel. Through air, which is called bypass mail, or the barge.
Mm-hmm.
The stores try their best to get most of their quantity during the barge season because they can get it at a lower price.
Mm-hmm.
But considering that, you know, there's only two ways of getting merchandise here into Bethel, which is either by air, which is called bypass mail.
No, right.
Or they fly it in and they get so many pounds and so many cents a pound.
Well, I think that AC, if we knew what their profits were every month, our jaw would drop, because I'm sure they're making. Well, one time someone told me one time, and I couldn't believe it. I said that it was so high. But, yeah, I think they make a tremendous profit, and I don't think they need to write things up at the level that they do.
Write things up or mark things up?
Mark things up, you know, write up the cost, mark up the costs. Yeah. Okay. We have Mark from – Mark. Good morning, Mark. Welcome to Talk Line.
Hello. Oh, there I am.
Hello, good Mark. Morning. Yeah, you're good on morning. Talk Line. Yeah, good morning.
So I a couple of things about fish. Not that I've been out fishing this summer, but there was one pulse of fish down in Hooper Bay, and haven't been any since. It's warm down there. The water's warm down there. I don't know what's going on up in Yukon. I've seen pictures of some nice kings from Mountain Village on Facebook, but it's slow down there, which is not historically an unusual occurrence. I remember one year about all we were able to catch and hang up when I lived there was whitefish and some kinks. But be that as it may, we need to keep in mind that there are some pretty significant environmental factors affecting the run here in the Kuskokwim, not the least of which is the low water, which is a result of a low snow winter. The mountains drained off in a big hurry. So I'm sure that the fish that are out there are just swimming real deep, as deep as they can get to get in here. But from the thing I really wanted to talk about is the word that fisheries managers are using this year. I don't think I've ever heard them use it before. And it's the word opportunity. They're not saying there will be an opening for limited to fresh.
I noticed
year.
That too.
They
okay.
say it's an opportunity. Uh-huh. And
I wondered
if
about
I
that.
Was a leader in this region, I would be up in arms about that word. And the reason is this. Subsistence is a way of life. Subsistence is how people have historically gained their nourishment and not an opportunity. Using that word, and mm-hmm. some people might see what I'm saying and some people might not, but using that word is really dangerous because it provides...
Hello?
Can you hear me now? Hello?
Oh.
Have you lost me?
I'm sorry, we lost you just briefly. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. I was saying that the use of the word opportunity has got very big implications for the definition of subsistence, for the ability of people to get out and harvest fish and maybe other resources. I mean, they may have used the word opportunity when they talked about opening up Canadians this spring.
Mm-hmm.
Subsistence, the only chance, an opportunity means chance. The only chance you take is going out and using your skills to the best of your ability to harvest what it is you're trying to harvest. For managers to say, well, we'll give them a chance to go out and subsist. The two words, subsistence and opportunity, in my view, and I kind of like words, I think they're important.
Okay.
The two words are thoroughly incompatible, and people need to recognize that, and they need to say from the Custic Glen Working Group on down and on up, they need to say, no, it's not an opportunity. We're going to subsist, maybe on a schedule, but we're going to subsist. Don't just give us a chance because we're not rolling the dice, you know. When you say opportunity, then they can start to modify it. Next year they can say a limited opportunity. And then after that, they're going to say, well, there will be no opportunity. So people need to watch the language that both the state agency and the federal agencies are using to define the terms in their own fashion for subsistence.
Okay, wow, that's an excellent catch, Mark. I did wonder about that, and I didn't...
That was a good pun.
Huh?
It was a good pun. If you were on the marijuana board, or the marijuana board meeting, we'd make you put a quarter into the pot pun pot.
What, because I said good catch?
Yes. We're talking about fish, right?
No. Well, we are, but I meant you caught the use of the English use of opportunity. That was a good catch.
Sure.
Yeah.
So anyways, that's all I got to talk about there.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for bringing that up. All right. Next we have Anonymous. We have an Anonymous call. Go ahead, Anonymous. You're on talk line. Hello. Okay, we're having new people learn the board today. Is there Anonymous on the line?
Yes.
Oh, there you are. Okay. Go ahead.
I want to comment to the lady that was talking about the prices at AC.
Yeah.
You know, she's right. Most of the stuff we're getting charged three times as much as Anchorage, and that's not right, considering, you know, people are barely making it in this town. And, you know, if all the native corporations in this town would get together and, you know, buy a big piece of land here in Bethel and invite Walmart to come over here, you know, I think Walmart would come over here and it would put AC out of business. And, you know, and the schools, last year my grandson came home saying, Grandma, I heard a kid say, white is right. And I'm like, what? Why did he say that? He said, I don't know, but he said white is right. What does that mean? And I told him that it was a racial slur. And, you know, if kids at our school at Gladys Jung are saying that, you know, people in Bethel, they should watch who they hire. Because most of the time kids hear that from parents and they repeat it, and you know that's not right considering this is a Native community.
Okay, are you talking about a teacher and said that or her parents said that?
It was a child at Gladys Jones.
Oh,
he
uh-huh.
said white is right, and
oh, okay.
You know that ain't nice.
No,
you know we're bringing too many people up here that are racially motivated against against people of color, and you know they need to go. You know, we can't have that here. It was never here until outsiders started coming to this community. You know, because I've been here more than 40 years, and you know that's just wrong. And to comment on the mayor about the investigation, why are they giving it to the state troopers here? Hello, can you hear me? Okay, why are they giving the investigations on the police department? Why are they giving it to the state troopers here? Those are working together. They're kind of in bed together, if you know what I mean. I think they should send all these investigations, send them out of town to somebody that doesn't know the people, the police enforcement and state troopers here. Because there is some troopers that are there that shouldn't even be troopers because they were found guilty in court of abusing their people that they put in jail. And I know at least one of them shouldn't be a state trooper. He went from the police department here to the state trooper office.
Oh.
And, you know, and it was, I think they said it was in their what they won in court, that he wasn't supposed to be any kind of law enforcement. And there he is, a trooper.
Okay.
And, you know, that's not right. They need to investigate more.
Okay.
And, you know, these police officers, they look like they're invincible, that nobody can touch them. Well, guess what? They're going to get theirs. Like that lady, Karma. Yeah. I agree with her.
Okay. Okay, well, I have some other calls that I have to take, but thank you for calling and talking about that.
You're welcome.
All right. Next, we have Roy. Welcome to the show, Roy. You're on Talk Line.
Yeah, it's been a while since I make a comment.
Yeah.
Publicly. I've been listening very intently. And I'm very impressed about people expressing, the racial issues, the federal, state, local law issues, and environmental issues and fishing issues. Since it was in the news, maybe about a couple of days ago, in ADN, Anchorage, what you call that, Dispatch News?
Mm-hmm. Dispatch? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, about Pepplemine partnering with Arctic Slope Regional Corporation to develop the mine there. And I keep thinking and believing that if democracy would be more active, like people are constantly expressing local, it starts from local people like you and me, to start voicing and to be actively mentally involved in what is happening and the way people are talking, it's wow, it's getting there. And that one issue keep coming up, that fishing numbers keep coming up, and environmental issue that global warming is impacting our very resources locally here, and not one caller has even mentioned that we need to be actively involved or actively protesting or pressuring North Slope Regional Corporation. That's a different region up north impacting our life source here. Developing a pebble mine in the headwaters of Bristol Bay is like being silent, being not protesting, and I applaud those people that are attempting to get the attention of the local people in reference to police of, it's like all over. It's not just local. It's nationwide. It's global wide. I wonder how come I always say it's not just a local issue. We're all demons.
And we also have Donlin Gold, which could impact the Kuskokwim.
Yes, exactly.
It's amazing that you would have Donlin Gold and Pebble Mine attempting to open pit mining in such a rich salmon environment. It's mind-boggling.
Yes, the thing that I really, it's like we got blinders, you know. It's like we don't research, we don't look into, it's like our worldview is so different from the party that is attempting to destroy the very resources that we depend on for life. Our way of thinking, our way of seeing the world, it's so different that we fail to recognize and act early enough to prevent it.
Mm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. Go ahead.
That is why I've been wanting to bring up. We've been here for the number of times that, like the scientists would say, maybe about 10,000 years we've been in this area too. And we're really interconnected to the natural resources in our environment that make us who we are. And to have some other foreign entities to impact that, and for our state and national leadership being elected by our own people locally, that we are not really seeing them subverting our very resources that we depend on in the best interest of the allegorics, you might say, you know.
I think that that what's interesting about that is with the Pebble Mine, the group that wants to, the company that's going to open, that wants to open in Pebble Mine, has now come into partnership with another Native corporation up north, and I can't remember the name of the Native corporation, and the first one is N, but so now you have a Native corporation joining with the Western corporation to open Pebble Mine.
Yeah,
it's just going to get a little bit complicated.
Yeah, well, it's kind of like divide and conquer concept.
Yeah. Yeah.
You go there and you let their own people to divide, and then you conquer as a result. Mm-hmm. And that's how I look at it. And the big issue here is always it's happening heavily in our national setting, you know, foreign country having their wishes to be electing their choices. It's kind of like decreasing democracy over the very rich few in the world.
And I want to correct myself, because it's the Pebble Mine Corporation partnering with ASRC.
Yes, that's Arctic. That's what I meant.
Arctic Slope. Yeah,
Arctic
I'm sorry. Exactly.
Yes.
So, even though now the Bristol Bay Native organization is against the Pebble Mine, so
yes,
yeah,
it's so always been. They always were against any destruction of the very resources that's considered the world's largest or the best fishing resource. There, you know. Industry. So I'm very curious about what people think. It's like if the more people would be informed way ahead or step ahead, but our NASA leaders, and they're attempting to do it undercover, in other words, without transparency, you know. So it's the same thing with new healthcare. They do not want people to know what's in that bill, unless after they vote on it.
Okay.
That's not democracy, you know.
And, okay.
But anyway, I'm taking quite a bit of your time.
Okay.
I just have to put my 2 cents out.
Well, thank you, Roy, for calling. We haven't heard from you in a long time, so it's good to hear from you.
All right. You have a good day.
Thank you. You too. Okay. Next, I thought we had another caller lined up. I'm not sure. But we'll go ahead and give out the numbers. I think there's a... I'm sorry, I don't know who's on the line. I can't read the screen.
That's okay. This is Shaddy from the Fitness
Center.
Okay,
Shaddy, there you go. All right. Welcome. Go ahead.
How you guys doing today?
Good, good. All right,
Shaddy's here to save the world.
Yeah, sure. just giving the weekly update, just like every other weekend, this weekend is half price. That includes tonight, tomorrow, and Sunday. The YK Lifesavers organization has graciously contributed the past year. So if anybody's looking for anything fun to do, just like any other weekend, and you're not going to be outside, please come over to the fitness center and have some fun with us. We start our Summer 2 session the week after July 4th. So we'll have a full new slate of programs starting here soon in just over a month. And they're going to be the usual, including Aqua Zumba, boot camp, cycling class, 2 yoga classes, and then our Land Zumo class. As for our instructional programs, they're a little thin right now, but we're still programming guitar, ukulele, and then the introduction to weights class. So if anybody is intimidated of the weight room or just doesn't understand how to properly lift, that's an excellent class for you. And that is Wednesdays and Fridays from 10:15 to 11:15 a.m. So if you have some space in your morning schedule, that would be great. We are doing a special event on the 4th of July. So we're going to be open from 2 to 9 p.m., and we're going to have free kayaking clinics starting at 3, 4, and 5. So if anybody's looking for some additional fun on the 4th of July, please come over to our facility because we're going to have kayaking, introduction to kayaking. And that's all I have for today.
Okay. Thank you, Shaddy.
Yeah,
that sounds like
nice
a good
talking
list.
To you guys. Have a
thank
good
you.
Week.
All right. I think we have Howard next. And Howard, I think you were on the line for quite some time. So thank you. We mixed things up a little bit. But welcome to the show.
All right. Thank you. the roads up there, I mean, the highway up there by the airport up to the old GCI building.
Yep.
They're pretty bad now, you know. I wish state transportation would just grind that up there and make it gravel there because it's very dangerous, and I'm sure it's putting a lot of wear and tear on a lot of vehicles that go back and forth there with commercial and private, you know. And it's quite a roller coaster now, you know. So I was wondering maybe I could say something. Maybe somebody will hear it in the State Department.
Yeah.
And do something about that. I'm sure it's pretty scary once you know, you're driving and you see somebody running with their dog or walking on that area, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And... but if somebody, you know, those the ball joint and or the steering would break and just rear off and hit somebody, that would be really, you know, bad, you know?
Yeah, really. Terrible.
Yeah, so just that part, so I want to say something about that. This week, my friend, he says, you know, he was out having a cigarette, and he said, "Hey, Howard, look." I said, "What?" He said, "Man, there's a lot of cops. Are they after me?" And I said, "No, I don't think so." And I went out to look. PD was out there, all rifles pointing at my house.
What? Oh, yeah, you had the police pointing guns at your house?
Yeah, all AR-15s, I think. They all had them pointed at my house, you know?
Uh-huh.
I said, "What the hell is going on here?"
Were you in the house?
No, I was next door. And my wife was home alone. She was cooking, and my brother and my son are out there pulling the engine, you know, for me, you know. because I do mechanical work, you know. And he told me to calm down, wait, see what's happening, you know. Mm-hmm. And I was really air pointing guns there. What if some kid, there's lots of kids out there, you know, watching this. All the neighbors were out there watching this. And I couldn't go down the hill, I mean, stairs to go there and what the hell's going on here, because I was afraid somebody might drop something or somebody hit something really loud and these guys would be shooting my house, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And my wife might be the...
What was the... why were they doing that?
There was a complaint on my son.
Oh.
And,
oh, well, you don't have to say personal stuff if you don't want to.
I
didn't understand.
Because it did happen and there's a lot of people to see it, you know. And I was kind of upset and he came and explained to me what happened, and I said, you know, I think the person that made the complaint made a false report saying that he had a gun, you know. And my boys, they don't play with guns in public, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We use those guns, and all my guns are all locked up in my gun safe, so, and all my ammo is all in the gun safe, and it's locked up, you know. So there's kind of like a false report on that part. And as far as his personal life, we try not to get into their life. We tell them to, you know, try and be careful and watch what you do and, you know, don't do something to interfere with other people's lives, you know.
Okay, yeah, okay.
Yeah, and, well, anyway... they left, and I was really mad, and I was staring at them, cause, and they weren't looking at me at all. They're, you know, and they drove away, not even looking at me. You know, and I said, what if some kid had just dropped, or somebody made a big loud bang? There would have been guns fired for no reason, you know.
Wow.
And, you know, for a policeman, you would go there and approach a person one-on-one. You know, I don't know what happened to the PD, but those kind of things, I think that happened before where somebody got shot and passed away, you know.
Oh.
Someplace up, you know, here in Bethel, and it was really, really sad to hear that happen, but, you know, you should approach the person and talk to them. I'm not being... whole bunch of people with guns at and people watching, you know, there's a lot of people watching. A lot of people.
Yeah, okay.
I really wish that Bethel would make Bethel the chief of police a voted thing for. We could all vote for who we want for a chief of police, you know.
Uh-huh.
Rather than have somebody hire somebody from like out of state and out of town and stuff and that don't know this community.
All right, Howard, thank you. We're going to have to go on because we have one more caller and a few minutes left. And
okay, all right.
So thank you for your call. Vernon is next on Talkline. Good morning, Vernon. Welcome to Talkline.
Thank you for taking my call. As always, great show and great topics. I just wanted to call in and let folks know we're just about, and this is Vern from Dawn and Gold, and wanted to thank all the communities throughout the Delta. We're just wrapping up at the end of our community visits, just a few more to do, and thanks to the tribes and communities for their attendance and attending all the meetings. And something coming up within the next couple of weeks, beginning our summer safety program, and we'll be visiting about 7 to 10 communities within the next couple of weeks and doing the summer safety distribution of life vests. And so,
oh, okay,
just wanted to give a heads up on people. It's must be our close to our 7th year doing this with YKHC and the State of Alaska's Water or Boating Program, and to date we've distributed around 4,000.
Wow.
Personal flotation devices, among other things. And so in the interest of safety, we want to keep everybody safe and everything else safe. So keep on the lookout for us. And in addition to doing the visits to the communities, we'll also be doing the stocking up the loaner boards at the Bethel Boat Harbor, and do that throughout the whole summer. And so
good.
Just want to drop that line in there and say thank you, and great job, you guys.
All right. Thank you, Vernon.
Hey, take care.
Hey, Vern.
Oh,
Vernon? Yes?
Before you go, is there any way you could double up those life jackets that are down there? Because I noticed that every now and then somebody needs a life jacket and there's none there. Is there any way to expand that? Or
I know this. It's those loaner boards belong to the state, and we I'm not, and I think YKHC also adds some to that, and then we keep some inventory of them, and we do a pretty regular, you know, throughout our days, throughout the summer, we'll drive by there, and if it looks like that they need to be replenished, we'll bring some down there and stock it up. And so, yeah, we kind of do it regularly.
Okay, good. Thank you.
Thank you, Vernon.
All righty. Hey, you guys have a good weekend.
Thank you. You too. So I think that's all our calls for today.
Before we go, I'd like to wish all the fathers out there Happy Father's Day. That's this coming Sunday or Saturday?
Yeah, Sunday.
Yeah.
Father's Day.
Yep.
Yep.
My father's in heaven, so I've already wished him Happy Father's Day.
Okay, so that's the end of our show for today, June 15th, and hope everyone has a great weekend.
If you're going to go out to have a plan, please don't drink and drive, and yes, wear your PFD, not the money one, but the one that saves your life.
Don't wear your money.